Welcome to Business Game Changers, where you'll hear expert tips on the big issues and the hottest trends to level up your business game. If you're building a career or building a business, this is Must Hear Radio. Here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we're going to be talking about a supplement that could be a medical game changer. It's called Protandim. The company behind it is Life Vantage, and they claim that Protandim can reduce your body's oxidative stress level to that of an average healthy 20-year-old. Also, they claim that oxidative stress is closely related to inflammation. It's pretty much a chicken and the egg thing. They don't know what comes first, inflammation or oxidative stress, but they're always there together. And the medical community is saying that inflammation is probably the cause of most known diseases. So this could be a major medical breakthrough. And he's going to come and talk about the science behind Protandim and how that works. But before we get into that, we're going to be talking to the CEO and founder of AirSage, Cy Smith. His cutting-edge company analyzes millions of anonymous mobile data points each day to help companies increase their marketing and advertising dollars and put them to better use. It increases your bottom line profits by micro-niche targeting techniques to greatly increase the effectiveness of your dollars. It's a must technique to stay competitive in today's digital world. Okay, so now we're going to welcome Cy Smith to the show. Hi, Cy. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted you to come today specifically because I thought your company sounded very interesting. I know you're on the Inc. 500 list, which means that you are a fast-growing company. You must have grown by thousands of percents over the last couple years, which is really impressive. But the reason I wanted you on the program is your company analyzes mobile phone data and then uses that data as a means of marketing for people and other business use. And I thought that was really interesting, and I thought you could share with us what you do with that and, how that works for businesses. But before we get started, expanding on what I've just got done saying. Can you briefly describe what AirSage does in your own words?
Sure. So AirSage provides consumer insights that are derived from these mobile signaling messages that come from wireless mobile devices. And what that means for us, we call it population analytics. And what that means is we're actually evaluating the number and the types of people that travel on certain roadways, that go to certain locations or certain events or visit certain parts of the country. And we're looking at the location and movement of mobile devices as a way to provide insights to enterprises, to transportation planners, to market researchers that are interested in understanding what people are interested in.
Well, that's really interesting. So you can tell the flow of people moving around in the city and what's actually going on?
That's correct. Just through the mobile signals that actually are communicated from these mobile devices through the wireless networks.
How do you plan? I can see how it could be real time. How do you plan future based on that?
So in terms of future, you can look at predictive patterns. So for example, if there are normally, in a summertime, maybe people use certain roadways to go to vacation homes, so we could actually look at that and predict and say, okay, we see a number of mobile devices that are traveling in this direction, so therefore there could be some predictions that we're able to provide to say what travel demand is going to be on roadways, and that would help transportation authorities better prepare for that travel demand.
Okay, so that's really cool, actually. So I was going through your website, and according to your marketing, you target many different areas. You have transportation, travel, tourism, which you just touched on now a little bit, and you also do consumer and market research. It's really broad. So how do you use that data to serve so many different business areas?
Well, it's really the types of insights that can be created are useful for these market segments and many, many more. We process this data as it comes from the wireless networks. We process it and analyze it and package it up in such a manner that many different market segments could actually make use of it, these three and much more. So it's not that we have to become the experts on how this data would be of value in each of these different areas. It's simply finding the common denominator between each of these market segments and then providing data. And companies and organizations approach us all the time with new ideas of how they want to make use of the types of data that we can provide.
Give me some examples so that I can understand, like how you would use it in different markets other than, you know, the obvious ones.
Well, travel and tourism. So just to give an example there, we have cities all over the country that have a component of their economy is based on tourism. And any organization that has a better understanding of what their customers or constituents are interested in, they're going to be able to better perform, better provide, and better connect with those customers. So we look at the number and the types of people that come into a city. For example, we provided a set of data for the city of Savannah that wanted to understand where do people come from that visit the city. Where do they come from? What do they visit? What are the main attractions when they come into the city? How long do they stay in each of these different locations? So with those types of insights, they're now able to put together marketing programs that are going to be more attractive to the people that might be more interested in coming to Savannah.
Sure.
So it's all about relevance. That's one example. Another example would be special events. So when the Final Four event was held in Dallas of this year, the city of Dallas came to us and they wanted to understand who's coming to the event, and of the people that come to the event, where else do they go? What parts of town do certain fans sets like to go to, and you know, where do they aggregate, where do they congregate? And that's very interesting for those people that want to be able to provide goods and services to those types of fans. So we'll do special events to provide those kinds of insights that will help the promoters be able again to better connect and reach the consumers that want to connect with them.
So this is all anonymous data, right? Except you have demographics and do you have quite a bit of data on the actual users that you can use for marketing purposes?
It is all anonymous, so there's no personally identifying information associated with this data, and it's all aggregate data. So in other words, it's about populations, not about individuals. And the data that we have, we collect over 15 billion location events per day in real time from these mobile signals that stream to us from the networks. And it's over 2.5 petabytes of data that we're analyzing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to derive these types of consumer insights.
So how do you get that data? Does the mobile companies, is it public, or is it, do you have contracts with them, or how does that work?
We do have agreements with the mobile operators, and those agreements have very strict provisions on how we have to protect this data and how what we can do, what we cannot do, and so forth. So
scary NSA organization.
that's correct. We are not. We don't do anything with the NSA.
Yeah. Well, okay. So today's business world is with data such as yours that you have, you're able to compete on a real micro niche level. How does this, in your opinion, enable your customers to beat their competitors?
So consumer insights are extremely important for any organization. Every organization is constantly looking for a better way to connect with the people that want to connect with them. And people want to have more efficient ways of connecting or finding those goods and services that they're interested in, or other people that are interested in the same kinds of things that they're interested in. So, you know, one analogy that a lot of people will identify with is on the internet, when someone goes to a website that normally would drop cookies to say this person or this computer went to this website. Therefore, they must be interested in this kind of product or service if they do it a lot. And there are companies that will analyze websites that individuals go to in order to better understand what they may be interested in from the standpoint of receiving marketing information or an advertisement. And the more relevant things are, the more efficient things will be. So any organization that is able to get those insights more effectively is an organization that's going to be better at competing. And we're very similar to the internet cookies in that mobile devices also leave cookies physically. What places people go to, what places are people interested in going to, what places are people interested in going to that may have other people that are interested in the same things. So it's really providing a level of consumer insights that don't exist under any other methodology.
Often I would imagine this would really help marketeers really save money on targeting exactly what you're trying to do. So if you're doing a special event and you know the type of people that are going to this event based on the data that you've analyzed, then that's where you advertise. And so you're using your advertising dollars in a much more effective and efficient manner, which helps you be more profitable.
That's exactly right, Sarah. It's really all about being able to more effectively and efficiently use those marketing dollars to get the people, to reach the people that you're trying to reach and that want to be reached.
Yeah. Well, exactly. The customers want to be reached. They want to see when those events are going on, and when they are actually more thankful for that because you're giving them the information they're looking for versus blasting it out to a bunch of people who don't care.
Absolutely.
So that's really fascinating. So if people want to get hold of you, what's the best way? Your website?
They can find us on a website, airsage.com. We are located in Atlanta, Georgia, but we're actually providing data all over the U.S. to lots of different types of businesses and organizations.
Okay, that's really great. Thank you so much for talking to us, Cy.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, I thought that was a pretty interesting interview with Cy Smith. I think it gives us an insight into how data is being used nowadays with all the databases and all the collection of information that we really do have. We are also going to be talking within a few weeks to the owner of Tech Barn, who does a lot of data analytics as well with marketing and advertising. And it's also my background on analyzing data and putting data models together and so forth back in the day, about 20 years ago when I first got started. And it's really amazing what you can do with the data. And now with today's marketing world, you know, with Facebook and all the different just the sheer amounts of information that we have, how you can really micro-target and really use your marketing dollars so much more effectively. Okay, now we're going to talk with Sean Talbot of Life Vantage. Hi, Sean. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Hey, I wanted to have you on the program because I have heard so much about Protandim, and you're going to need to explain what that is. And I also heard how much it reduces oxidative stress by significant numbers, which you're going to have to explain what oxidative stress is as well. But from what I understand, oxidative stress is a factor behind so many different diseases that affect the human race. And the ability for Protandim to significantly reduce it can be a game changer in the whole medical field. So before we get into all that, can you first tell me give me a little bit of brief background of you and your background, and then what your role at Life Vantage is?
Yeah, sure. So my background, I've got a master's degree in exercise science and a PhD in nutritional biochemistry. So I'm, you know, usually refer to myself as a nutritionist. That's primarily the work I do, but I do it from very much a biochemical perspective. So when I talk about, you know, eating why you eat an apple, you know, the reason for eating the apple is because it has, you know, specific bioactives in it, like quercetin, for example, that do certain things in your body, you know, so that's a perspective I take from it. And what I do here at Life Vantage is I'm the chief science officer. So I'm in charge of all the research, all the product development, all the sort of substantiation of our products, you know. So from a perspective of something like Protandim, it's an antioxidant, which will generally protect your body, but it does it in a very, very different biochemical way. So that oxidative stress that you referred to before, you know, for people who are not familiar with those terms, oxidative stress or antioxidants. You can think about it as, you know, if your cells are under any sort of stress, they can be damaged. Your cell membranes can be damaged. Your DNA can be damaged, and that can lead to problems with the cell. And so what we're doing with Protanum is helping the cell protect itself. So oxidative stress is the kind of stress or damage that comes to a cell from reactive oxygen molecules in the environment, things you might breathe in air pollution or be exposed to sunlight. Those are all sources of oxidizing stress.
So sunlight,
the cells.
Sunlight,
yeah, sunlight is one of them. If you go out in the sun and you get a sunburn, that's an oxidative stress.
Okay, from a sunburn. So the damage created by the sun. Or how about,
right.
You know, things in our food, like the you know, all the chemicals, the processed food that we eat, or how about stress from work-related activities?
Yeah, any of that kind of stuff. It is all transmitted through the body in different ways of cellular stress. Like, so, you know, oxidative stress is one particular kind of stress, but your cells can be stressed out because you're eating too many processed foods and your blood sugar levels are changing. That blood sugar change, fluctuations in blood sugar levels, can lead to an oxidative stress, can lead to an inflammatory stress. So, you know, all of these sources of stress that we have are transmitted right down to the cellular level, right down to the genetic level, actually, in some of the studies that we've done. And so what we're doing is trying to, you know, take a step back and say, all right, if we want to protect ourselves right down to the genetic level, how do we do that? And eating a good diet and avoiding the bad things in our diet is one way to go, but we can also do it with herbal supplements and with dietary supplements to help ourselves right down there at that cellular level to protect themselves from the stressful world we live in.
Well, because we can't, tell me if I'm wrong, but the food that we eat, no matter, and the stressors that we have at work and the pollutants that we're in contact with just around us, and the processed food that we have, no matter how hard, and in the United States, I would say, and probably, you know, some of the Canada and stuff, no matter how hard we try, just because of what we're surrounded with, it'd be very, very difficult to reduce the oxidative stress on our own without help. And is that accurate?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, when I come out and I do a public seminar somewhere, you know, it's because I'm a nutritionist and a physiologist, I'll still say to people, look, I still want you to be physically active. I still want you to eat a good diet with your 5 to 10 servings of brightly colored fruits and vegetables. I want you to avoid, you know, Coke and Pepsi and French fries and all that kind of stuff. But the world we live in, just as you just said, we're surrounded by all these sources of stress from our job, from the air we breathe, from the bad food we eat, and the lack of good food that we eat. And that's where I think those supplements come in, is to say, look, here's another tool that we can use to encourage our bodies to protect themselves. And that's where I think the new future of nutrition and medicine is going, is helping our bodies protect themselves rather than try to do it in some sort of a synthetic artificial way.
Or let's change that, but let's also look at what's causing it in the first place. Because if you go to, I went to France over last New Year's, and my jaw dropped at the difference, the health difference of people in France. I mean, they're so much thinner and smaller than we are, as far as
right.
I couldn't believe it. You go into an airport in the United States, and when we say we have the highest number of obesity in the world, it's really obvious when you go
right.
when you go to a place like France. And in France, they all smoke. They're not all that, you know, they're drinking and smoking and doing all these things. And here, you know, we cut all the smoking out and things, but they are so much healthier. And that has to do with their food supply. So in this country, if you're going to be living in this country, you can't get away from it. Cause I was talking to some people in France, and I think this blew me away. There was a woman who was very fit, and she's really into the stuff, but she does work in Canada and the United States, and she was in the U.S. for about 3 months. She actually in Canada for about 3 months, and she gained 20 pounds just being there. She goes, I didn't change my diet. I didn't do anything. It took her about a year to lose it again when she got to France. And then she had a friend who came from the United States, didn't do anything different when he was in France, and he lost like 30 pounds.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I don't know. I know I'm getting on a tangent here, but it was amazing to me.
No, well, you know, it's, It's not a tangent at all, because the kind of work that I do, we study exactly that. And it's, you know, you can, the thing that makes it not a tangent is that what it shares right down at the cellular level is this concept of cellular stress. You know, so, you know, a lot of times I'll talk about these different kinds of cellular stress. You can have oxidative stress or inflammatory stress or glycation stress, which is the blood sugar stress, or just stress from stress hormones like cortisol. All of that disrupts the cell in a very particular way. So if it's in your brain, that means you can't concentrate. If it's in your belly fat cells, it means that you store more fat. So it all, like all of those, everything that you just described comes down to, are our cells under more stress or less stress? And if they're under more stress, we're going to gain weight, our cells are going to break down, we're going to have problems. And if our cells are under less stress, they're going to work better. They're going to be more efficient, and we're going to not gain as much weight. We're going to have more muscle. We're going to have clearer skin. We're going to, you know, all of that just sort of follows. And it's all due to cellular stress from our lifestyles and our environment and our diets and our supplements and everything else. It's cellular stress.
We're a machine, right? So if a car, it's, if you think of it like a car, if you put in clean oil and you keep the engine clean and you do all the maintenance you need to a car, it'll run well and smooth and whatever. We're the same thing. We're just a biological machine, right?
That's exactly what it is. And it is the analogy couldn't be any clearer than that. You know, people think more about their cars and take their cars in for a tune-up and, you know, the 50,000 mile tire rotation, stuff like that.
But or the oil changes.
Yeah, oil change, get the spark plugs replaced, get the, you know, all of that kind of stuff. We think about that for our cars, and we completely neglect it for our bodies until something breaks, until your back hurts, or until you're 30 pounds overweight, or until something breaks, and then you have to get that fixed. And, you know, what we're trying to do is, you know, here at LifeVantage is try to say, wait a minute, let's maintain a good, healthy, efficient, tuned up body. And the way we do that is by balancing cellular stress.
Okay, so I read that your product, Protandim, can reduce oxidative stress on average by 40% in 30 days and 70% in 120 days. First of all, is that accurate?
Yeah. So the one that you probably would focus on is the 40% in 30 days, which is that amount in that short amount of time is astonishing. There's nothing else out there that works that way. And I don't know if you want to get into the details of how it works, but the reason that it's so effective is because what Protandim is doing is in effect flipping a switch in the cell that allows the cell to produce its own antioxidant enzyme. So in effect, you're saying to the cell, hey, protect yourself. Give yourself a tune-up so that we don't have to come in and do it artificially.
So is the 70% accurate or not sure?
Yeah, the 70%, the 70% is accurate, but we have more data to support the 40% over 30 days, you know, and we have that in lots of different tissue systems and lots of different cell models and things like that. So it's not one of the things that's funny about the whole 40% in 30 days is somebody might look at that and say, well, wait a minute, if I go another 30 days, will that be 80%? If I go another 30 days, will that be 120%? Will I start, you know, sucking free radicals out of the atmosphere, you know, because I'm so low? It doesn't really work that way. What that 40% reduction, getting you down to that new level, that's about what a 20-year-old would have. So, I mean, literally in those studies, you know, we can take an 80-year-old who has more oxidative stress than a 20-year-old. There's a very strong age-related increase in cellular damage. The, you know, the longer we're around, the more damage we accumulate and the more we can measure that. When we give somebody a 40% reduction, that's in effect bringing them down to the level of a young person, right?
So it doesn't
need to go any lower than that.
So if you take an average 80-year-old and you give them a 40% reduction in oxidative stress, that would bring them down to an average 20-year-old.
Right, exactly. So after they've been supplemented for 30 days, you can't tell the difference biochemically, right? From a cellular stress perspective, you can't tell the difference between an 80-year-old or a 70-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old. Everybody has the same sort of youthful levels of cellular stress.
So,
which is fantastic, you know, that right there is a very legitimate anti-aging effect.
So how long, let's say you stop doing it, will it, your body go back to the way it was over time?
Yeah.
I mean, just like not brushing your teeth?
Over time, that's exactly what would happen. If you're still under those same sources of stress, you're eating the same diet and you're exposed to the same atmosphere and you have the same lifestyle choices, you'll slowly start to accumulate that cellular damage if you stopped doing something like Protandim. Yeah, so it really is something where, you know, it's something that you need to do every single day. You're in effect, you're going in and flipping that cellular switch that says, protect me and clean up the damage. And then that turns itself off, you know? So it's not something we're turning on and leaving on. We turn it on and it turns itself off, and then you have to flip it again the next day, and you have to flip it again the next day. And that's what good nutrition is all about. These levels, these small levels of these bioactive compounds, you know? We don't eat broccoli once and think it's going to protect us for the rest of our lives. We have to do those good things over and over and over again. That's the idea we built into Protandim.
So what does oxidative stress do to your body from a disease standpoint? Like what kind of, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, oxidative stress can damage every single tissue in the body. So no matter what tissue we look at, if we look at the lungs or the muscles or the bones or the eyes or the skin or anyone, and you look at a disease state, right? You look at some sort of a chronic condition. You look at, you know, oxidative stress in the cartilage, you might measure that as arthritis. And so at the heart of every single one of those disease states is a higher level of cellular damage. And so, you know, you could step back from that and say, well, wait a minute, is oxidative stress causing these diseases? There's lots of scientists who think, yes, that oxidative stress is the source of every disease that you could name. There are other scientists who say, well, you know, maybe it's not the cause of every disease, but it's certainly there's more cellular stress in the case of a disease versus in the case of being healthy. So oxidative stress is definitely not a good thing for the function of a cell.
So basically, if it's not the source, it could be a contributing factor. So if we reduced it, then it might allow you to be able to conquer the disease from another aspect or from another angle.
That's exactly it. Because when your body is over-oxidized or under any of these sources of cellular stress we talked about before, we'll generally look at that tissue and refer to it as being catabolic, meaning it's breaking down faster than it's able to build itself back up. And so that really is the secret. Whether oxidative stress is causing the disease in the first place, it's certainly a roadblock of that tissue to repair itself. And so, you know, it's kind of a chicken and egg scenario a little bit, you know, is the oxidative stress causing it or exacerbating it, or is it coming after the disease has sort of solidified itself? Well, in a certain sense, it doesn't matter that, you know, we know that higher level of cellular damage is going to be a bad thing no matter what. So let's get it lower. Let's get the cell back into a more efficient state where it can fix the damage, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Has there been any studies done to show what the oxidative stress difference is between people in the United States versus people in other countries where they're just not as obese and there might not be as many diseases happening?
Yeah, there have been, and a lot of the difference comes back to some of the things that you were mentioning before when you were talking about your trip to France. Comes back to differences in lifestyle, differences in fruit and vegetable intake, differences in processed food intake, differences in stress levels. You know, all of those kinds of lifestyle factors that we're completely surrounded by are leading to more cellular stress and leading to more diseases. And
so if you ate McDonald's every single, remember that there was that documentary about the people that ate McDonald's every day,
yep,
and they got really sick by the end. If they ate, you know, a Big Mac and a large French fry every day, would their oxidative stress go through the roof by the end of the month?
Oh yeah, huge. Because those are, you know, if you eat, let's just say you drink a Coke, you know, you drink some sort of a sugared soda kind of a beverage, and you eat a French fry, we can actually trace the oxidation and inflammation from your mouth all the way through your body, right down to the cellular level.
Oh, wow.
Like those foods are setting off a cellular stress response just because we're not, you know, we're sort of not designed to be consuming those foods on a regular basis. So it's a big problem.
So have you seen any significant results in the field from people using the product?
Oh my gosh. It's, you know, so I go out and I talk on behalf of LifeVantage a lot. You know, I travel to a lot of cities. And I'll talk about, cellular stress, and I'll talk about, how Protandim protects us from cellular stress by activating this pathway that we refer to as the NRF2 pathway. That's the switch that we flip to let the body protect itself. And, I'll talk about all the science. I'll show the 40% reduction in oxidative damage, all that kind of stuff. But then you hear the stories, you hear the stories of people who have been using the product for 30 days or 60 days or a year, whatever the case may be. And it's nearly miraculous, Sarah. If I didn't know the data as well as I do, and I know what's going on biochemically in the body, it would sound outlandish that people are having, the mobility benefits and the energy benefits.
Well, for example, give me some examples of like a problem, some of the problems that people have, that it's really helped them with.
Yeah, well, what I hear from people, and these are their stories that are probably better coming from their mouths, but I hear a lot of, flexibility kinds of things, where somebody had, stiffness and, they couldn't get around and they were in pain, and then they started taking, one of the products and they felt good enough to get up and start walking around again.
Does it help with inflammation? Is that part of the deal?
Yeah, so oxidation and inflammation are very much a chicken and egg scenario. They're different aspects of biochemistry, but they almost always coexist. And you don't always know, was the cell first over-oxidized and then it became over-inflamed, or was it over-inflamed and then it became over-oxidized? So there's a lot of interplay between those two factors.
So if you reduce the oxidative stress, does it almost always reduce the inflammation or not necessarily?
Yes.
It does.
Almost always, yeah, because it's like a dominoes game, right? If one goes wacky, the other one goes wacky.
Because
if you restore balance in one, the other one gets better.
Because a lot of the research that I've been reading is that inflammation is the source of like MS. It's the source of, Alzheimer's. It's the source of so many diseases.
Yeah, and a lot of those neurological-oriented diseases are so inflammatory and oxidative in nature because nerves are just very, very susceptible to that kind of damage. A neuron or a nerve cell anywhere in the body will break down really fast when there's oxidation or inflammation present. But then there's such slow-growing tissues that even after you restore oxidative inflammatory balance and get that tissue in a place where it can start regenerating itself, it's a slow process for that tissue to come back. But those are the kinds of situations that
I'm sorry, keep going. I have a question after that.
No, it's okay. I mean, those are the kinds of situations where people will come back and they'll say, look, I just feel better. They're not coming back to us ever and saying, I think Protandim cured my arthritis, or I think it stopped my Parkinson's in its tracks, right? It's not that kind of stuff. But people are coming back and saying, you know what? I feel better. I am functioning better. I'm doing better. And the only thing that I changed is I added Protandim. And that, it makes a lot of sense if we go back to what we've been talking about this whole time. Oxidative balance, inflammatory balance, get the cell to protect itself and repair the accumulated damage, lower your oxidative stress, 40% in 30 days. All of that makes perfect sense. If that tissue is getting that metabolic tune-up, your body's going to do better. And it's not about curing diseases, but it's about getting you to function at a higher level.
So basically, once you get your body in a balanced state, then your body can start healing itself. And, like type 2 diabetes, a lot of people are, have type 2 diabetes, especially in this country. Can it really help with that?
Well, there's probably no condition that's more of an oxidation inflammation condition than diabetes is, because you've got the blood sugar issues, you've got stress issues, you've got your cells are basically rusting from the inside out in a situation of diabetes. And that's one of the reasons that diabetics have so many neurological problems, they have so many circulatory problems, because that sugar is causing oxidative and inflammatory damage in their nerves, in their blood vessels, and that is right there is their whole body. So if you can put them in a balanced state, you're gonna help them from a health perspective, from a functional perspective, from a feel better perspective. It's really wonderful to see that.
So how long does it take before people start, people with issues start seeing some benefits from this?
Yeah, that's one of the things that is a great big question mark. And one of the things that's both fascinating and frustrating about studying oxidative stress is that, you know, you can get somebody who responds literally the next day because, you know, maybe their blood flow is better, maybe their energy levels are higher, maybe, you know, whatever else is happening because you've rebalanced this oxidative stress. But then there'll be other people who don't feel anything and might not feel anything for years. You know, so, and it could be anywhere in between. And the question mark is, we don't know why that is. We don't know why some people respond really, really quickly and why other people get a response that we can measure biochemically. You know, if I take a blood sample or a saliva sample, I can measure that reduction in oxidative
stress. But they might
not
feel it.
But they might not feel it, exactly. And, you know, maybe they're going to feel
it. It's like,
oh,
you're healthier biochemically, but you just don't feel it. I swear you're healthier.
Exactly. And that's what's frustrating. You can look at somebody, you can say, look, your body is healthier. Here's your blood work. But they go, huh, well, I don't feel any different necessarily. Sometimes they'll feel different if they start going back to where they were before. They'll start feeling worse.
Isn't it the same? Yeah, well, people probably don't realize that they're feeling better because it might come on really slowly. Isn't it the same as like children? You can't get them to eat fruits and vegetables because they're so healthy normally anyways. Their body works so well.
Right.
You can't get your kid to eat broccoli because they don't care.
Right. And that, you know, that's one of the challenges for somebody that doesn't have a quote unquote problem, right? When we talk to them about oxidative stress and they haven't accumulated enough damage yet where that tissue is going to break, so to speak, their knee is still flexible and their back doesn't hurt and their skin hasn't started to wrinkle and all those kinds of things. There's nothing quote unquote wrong with them. So why is this important? You know, and I look at it and go, well, it's back to the analogy of the car. You know, don't wait until your car breaks down by the side of the road. Take it in for that periodic maintenance so that it runs well and it gets good gas mileage and it gets you to where you want to be. It's the same thing with your body, but we don't have that same mentality. We don't pay attention to it until something's wrong.
Okay. So now I have some big questions about this. If it is does this and it's proven at a biochemical level that it makes a difference in oxidative stress 40% in 30 days.
Yeah.
Why hasn't the industry, the medical community really embraced it from a standpoint of getting it out to all their patients and just saying, hey, we got this thing that really can help you.
Yeah, well, we're starting to see that now. You know, the Life Energy has only been around for about 5 years. You know, so we've got 20 studies in different ways of measuring it on the Protandim blend. We've got a handful of studies on looking at that idea in skin, using it as a topical formulation in a line that we call True Science. We're taking that same sort of an idea and we're putting an energy spin on it because we're looking at NRF2 activators in the brain. So there's lots of ways to do this. And you know, as the research starts to get out, people do look at it and go, huh, that makes a lot of sense. So we're seeing the tide starting to change more to a preventive, you know, maintain the body mindset versus a fix it when it's broken kind of a thing.
Well, our whole industry really is more of a fix it versus a proactive. Right? The whole medical industry is
bad. Oh, it totally is. Totally is. And that's 200 years of history for that sort of a system. But I look at what we're doing and we're kind of borrowing some of these ideas from traditional Chinese medicine and traditional Indian medicine, Ayurveda, which are systems that aren't 200 years old like our modern pharmaceutical industry, but they're more like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years old. And their whole story has been about, let's use these herbs, let's use these root extracts and leaves and stems and that kind of stuff, not to cure anything, but to maintain balance in the body. And it's only been in the last, you know, decade or so that we've been able to apply biochemical techniques to go, huh, this stuff actually works. You know,
well,
when
yeah,
we use
well, you
this
guys,
root.
Well, if you have biochemical, I mean, if you have actual studies and tests showing biochemically what's going on, it should significantly change the way things are looking at it. Because, you know, the problem with the Eastern medicine, you know, Chinese medicine and so forth. And there's that big thing between, right, our science-based, it's all science-based, but our, you know, like nutrition-based medicine versus, what do you call it, the medicine that we have now, which is more you know, pharmaceutical based.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been there was a term for it. You should probably know the term.
Allopathic medicine.
Yeah, well, like you know, and you know, like chiropractors versus the traditional doctors.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and using natural remedies versus using synthetic based.
Right.
And,
right.
And there's been big kind of this yin and yang battle between the two of them. But when you look at this, you know, it's more of a natural base, but if there's science behind it, then the other side that's into synthetic, you know, medicines and stuff would support this because of the pure science behind it.
Right, right, right. And we're starting to see that tide turn where people are starting to say, well, maybe there's a place for both. You know, it's not like we're saying, you know, these herbal remedies should replace all the pharmaceuticals. No, that's not it at all. There's a place for pharmaceuticals and there's a place for more of this holistic kind of therapy.
Exactly.
And so when I go and talk at medical conferences, you know, I was at American College of Lifestyle Medicine just this past October, and I talked about a lot of the things that we've been talking about now. And you could just see people, you know, physicians in the audience just going, yeah, this makes perfect sense. And now it's something they can get behind because there's some sort of Western validity,
exactly.
A validation to
exactly.
It, you know?
Exactly.
Same exact thing happened. I was just about a week ago, I was at the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. And so, you know, lifestyle medicine people, anti-aging medicine people are a little bit more open to this idea of holistic therapies. But man, when you can put some biochemistry to it or some validated, quantified psychological measurements, that's the turning point, you know? So I got mobbed after both of those presentations of people saying, well, how do I get more information? How do I get your slides?
Well,
how
that's
do I,
what people
you know, where
want,
is this published? You know, that
right?
kind of stuff, which is fantastic, you know?
Well, that's what people want. My sister's a medical doctor and my other sister's a pharmacist, and she also has a, before she went back into pharmacy, she was a molecular biologist, a biochemist.
Uh-huh.
And so my whole family has that background except me. I'm in this business weird world that I'm doing now on the radio. But but yeah, they really want to see facts. They want to see they want to see hard data, and it's so nice to be able to see hard data from a holistic perspective.
Right, right, exactly. But let me stop you there before you ask me any other questions. I would, you know, put in front that I think what you're doing is every bit as important, maybe more important than what they're doing, because people don't know about this kind of stuff. One of the things that I find so interesting is that, you know, I can go to a medical conference and I can talk to some scientists or some medical professionals about these concepts, and it's the first time that they've heard some of these concepts because it's such a new cutting edge sort of a thing, right? So how do we bridge the gap from, you know, 100 scientists talking about it at a conference to thousands and hundreds of thousands of people hearing about it in the public and then saying,
exactly.
Huh, that's what I need to do. If I want to get healthy, I need to do that. If I want to feel better, I need to do that. That's where the real change is going to happen by people listening to you.
Well, how are you getting people to embrace this? Because, you know, I teach at the University of Minnesota. I taught a business class there this past semester, and one of the things that I taught kids in the class, or the students, they're not kids anymore, is that, you know, change is just so incredibly hard to happen in the culture or in your communities, and people embracing change is just incredibly hard, especially, you know, whole fields of study. And one example was a doctor in England, and this was during, I think it was during the 50s, and they were doing x-rays on fetuses, women who were pregnant, and x-rays, they were x-raying them to see if there were problems and things, and they were creating a whole bunch of problems. The x-ray machines
right.
were creating a problem, and they, at that time, they didn't know that was what was creating it. And she did all these studies and figured out that the x-rays were what was creating the birth defects. And it took her 20 years before they would accept her data and make it a policy not to x-ray pregnant women. 20
right.
years, even though she had all the data. There's a TED Talk if you search for, I don't remember exactly how to search for it, but there's a TED Talk about this particular situation. And it took her 20 years to get the medical establishment to embrace it and change it. So what are you experiencing in the medical establishment as far as this goes? Because I can't imagine this is going to be embraced any easier than that was, or any other major change.
No, and it's funny that you tell that story, because I tell a very similar story that, you know, it's 5 years from now, we'll look back on this conversation that we're having right now, and we'll think, 5 years from now, people will accept this idea that, oh, there are mechanisms inside of ourselves that we can, that can protect us, that can improve our health. All we need to do is activate them. Right now, it's a very new idea, but it's being accepted so quickly that 5 years from now, it'll be accepted wisdom, and people will, 5 years from now, will go, oh yeah, we've known that. We've known that for a long time. It's very similar to, I wrote a book about.
So you're seeing people accepting it quicker. You're seeing
people
accepting
it really quick because of the science. You know, the science is really there to get people over that fence, to get people to say, all right, some of that TCM stuff, that traditional Chinese medicine, it makes sense, but there's no data behind it.
Exactly. Yep.
Now we're applying data behind it, it gives people who are open-minded but skeptical, and I love that, people to be an open-minded skeptic, right? Be
well,
skeptical
you have to,
until
because
you see
otherwise.
The data.
Otherwise, you're going to get into problems, right?
Right, right. But then when you can show them, look, here's the idea from traditional medicine. Here's the Western techniques that we applied to it. Eureka, it actually works, or it doesn't work. Sometimes it doesn't work, and we're able to throw those ones out. But when it does work, it gets people to go, yeah, that makes perfect scientific sense. Now I can get behind it. And we're seeing the uptake of that really, really fast, because we're, the traditional medicine ideas are there. They've been there for thousands of years. Now we're able to just, kind of pick them off the shelf and do our measurements and go, yep, this one works. Nope, that one doesn't. And the ones that work, we can put out as products with scientific validation.
Oh, and that's what you need. Are you thinking about doing any kind of mass human trial now that you have so many people involved in it?
Yeah. And so what we did, the sort of history of the last 5 years has been a kind of a small scale human trial to show, look, we got this, that 40% reduction in oxidative damage in 30 days, right? Wow. But then the question was, is this really happening in every tissue through the body? Is it happening in the livers the same as it's happening in the blood vessels and et cetera, et cetera? And so we went on a course of doing tissue analysis to say, yep, it happens in the arteries, yep, it happens in the skin, yep, it happens in the cerebral blood vessels, et cetera, et cetera. So now we're back to the point where we have underway now some large scale human trials where we're looking at, well, does it help during the stress of exercise? Does it help during the stress of smoking? Does it help during the stress of aging, et cetera? And so those trials are underway right now, but we had to go through the process of, does it work in all these different tissues? Does it make sense to do that big,
sure,
large human trial? And that's where we are right now. So, 5 years of development, I think we've done a lot of really good work over the last few years.
So when do you think those human trials will be out for public consumption?
They'll start coming out. Some of them are starting to come out right now. I mean, literally, we got some really good skin data back last week that shows, I can't tell you what it is right now, but it looks very, very promising.
It's proprietary.
It's proprietary until we go publish it.
Sure, I understand.
The way we do it, we'll present it at a conference, we'll publish it, that kind of stuff. But we're seeing really, really good results. But coming through all of next year, we're going to be getting results from those trials and that we'll be able to start sharing with people.
I think that will help, having massive, huge, large number human trials. I think with any new product, there's, you read on the internet, there's naysayers and everything else, and after a certain point, if the data is just overwhelming, then they just go away, right? The naysayers start to go away, which would be great, especially if, with the results that you're seeing with the oxidative stress going down by 40% in 30 days. I have some friends that have MS, and so I'm really, really hopeful that it'll help them, and we're just kind of monitoring it, and they've seen some significant results just in the short term, but as far as really, because now their body has to start repairing itself and things like that, and so we're seeing if it'll do anything for that part of it.
Exactly. And in those situations, what I really love to do for people is kind of reframe the whole disease question and say, look, it's not like balancing your oxidative stress is going to cure your disease or, prevent every case of cancer that's ever going to come down the pike. But rather to say, look, if your body is out of balance, that's not going to be good. Maybe it leads to a problem. Maybe it's an obstacle for your body to repair that problem. It's certainly not going to be good if your engine, your body, is running inefficiently. So let's rebalance that. That's got to be a good thing. And so if you have a condition, you know, like MS or arthritis or any of those kinds of things, those are just labels from my perspective as a nutritional biochemist of an unbalanced body, an unbalanced cellular metabolism. So let's rebalance that and see what we get.
And then go from there. There could be some food.
Right.
There could be food and other things that are causing issues as well, right? Your body's rejecting the certain foods.
Yeah, exactly. And because you're rejecting it, that's causing a stress to the body every time you consume that food. Or, you know, MS is a good example. MS or colitis or any of these sorts of kind of inflammatory, autoimmune-ish kinds of diseases, when you're under stress, when those people who have those conditions have a stressful day, their symptoms are worse. And that stress is really being transmitted through their bodies right down to the cells, and they're more out of balance, so they're having more symptoms. So it really comes back to what we started with, that idea of reducing that cellular stress and getting that cell in a place that's a healthier place. That's going to be better for your whole body, your whole mind, your whole outlook on life.
So, okay, getting to the business model that you have, why did you decide to do an MLM model? I'm a little, and a lot of people probably are a little down on MLMs. Why did you guys choose to do an MLM model to bring it to market?
Yeah, really, really simple reason is that telling this story is impossible to do on the shelf. You know, everything that we just talked about right now, I can't tell that story on a 1-inch by 1-inch square on a label on a shelf with all these other products out there. You know, there's tons of antioxidant products on the grocery store shelf, but none of them work this way. None of them work the way Protandim or True Science or our new energy product Axia work, by flipping the body's ability to protect itself. So, you know, telling the story of all of that science and, you know, 40% reduction in oxidative damage, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, you almost have to have the sort of belly-to-belly, one-on-one conversation that you get with network marketing that you can't have at retail.
And
so that's the main reason for it.
It makes sense to me, and I know it's a less expensive way to get the product out to market. One thing that you do that I immediately noticed upon reading your thing is that you don't charge your distributors a website fee like so many of these other MLMs to sell your product, which to me is, I really have a problem with that, because I don't see why people would charge for someone to sell their product. But what other ways are you, because, you know, established MLMs have a pretty poor rate of success for people who get into the business. There's an average of 99.7% failure rate for most distributors that get into an MLM. What are you doing specifically to change that, so that, because I know that there are, I had an expert on MLM come on and say there are ways that you can position an MLM to be a win-win for the people who are, you know, selling your product and for the company itself. What things are you doing to ensure that the people who get involved from the sale perspective will be successful at this and not lose money and, you know, be hurt in the process?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different business models in network marketing. You know, the approach in the olden days was that people needed to buy a lot of product. They had to have a big inventory. People would fill their garages with some of the stuff and they'd never be able to sell it. And so, you know, they lost money on that deal. The way that we do it at LifeVantage, you know, people don't have to stock anything, right? They don't have to have a garage full of product. They don't have to have inventory on hand necessarily, because with the way technology is, it's all dropship. It's all, you know, it's electronic. It's on your mobile phone. It's, you know, you get a customer and they can just place the order and it's shipped directly to them. You don't have to buy it and resell it to them. So that's one way. From our perspective, you know, the kind of work that I do in our research and development department is first of all, developing products that are very unique, that don't have a good match out there. You know, so you're selling something that's very, very unique. That's one place to really start. You know, you can't build a business, an effective business, around a Me Too kind of a product.
Mm-hmm.
But then make the story not just unique about, you know, why is our product different, but try to make the story kind of easy to tell. So that's why we're telling the story of, you know what, your cells are under a lot of stress and we're helping to rebalance that stress. You know, that's something that kind of resonates with a lot of people. They know that we live in a stressful world. And when you, when they realize, you know, the list that you ticked off earlier, you know, the poor food and the stressful jobs and the, you know, the polluted air and the sunlight, and they go, oh my gosh, I'm surrounded by these sources of stress. I really need to protect myself. That makes it easy for somebody to say, you know, all right, that makes sense. I'm in. I can tell that story to somebody else. So it's a story that's duplicatable, so to speak. You know, but then there's, you know, then there's all kinds of things about how do you get paid out? You know, do you have to build and build and build until you become one of the upper echelon people before you start making money? There are different kinds of compensation plans out there. And the compensation plan that we have at LifeVantage is very much geared towards a middle class, so to speak, right? So it's not just the big wigs, the big distributors in the company that are making all the money. You know,
well,
those people certainly
problem.
Are making lots of money,
sure.
Right? You know, if you do it the right way, you're going to make a lot of money.
That's the problem with MLMs is quickly people realize that unless you get other distributors and you're focused on that, you won't make money. And you're saying that in your business, if you're closer to a direct selling model where the people on the front lines are making more of the money, then turns into more of a win-win. But if most of the commission sales are going up to your upline, then quickly people realize that the only way you can really make money is to bring in distributors, and it's closer to a pyramid than it is to a direct selling. You know, the closer you can get to direct selling versus pyramid based, the better it is for the people in the company. Other than the very top, obviously.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you on that. But then there's also the way where you can have sort of a hybrid of those two, where, you know, the people who really build it as a full-time business can become fabulously wealthy. That's fantastic. But that doesn't appeal to everybody. There's a lot of people who just want to be, you know, what I just referred to as the quote-unquote middle class. They want to make a couple $100 extra. You know, they want to make a car payment, or they want to make a boat payment, or they want to have a little bit of money for the vacation fund or something like that. That is what I would refer to as it's kind of a hybrid model, where you've got a big group of people who are making, you know, some money, that sort of, you know, $200 or $300 or $400. You've got some people who are making several thousand dollars a month, and that's, you know, that's where they might think, you know, should I continue with my full-time job? Should I continue doing this on the side? What makes the most sense for me? And then you've got, and this is a small percentage of the people. You've got people who are making, you know, wealth, you know, in that. But that's a very different decision for people. Those people are working really hard at it. And, you know, what I see as a scientist, when I hear people kind of ding the industry as general, you know, in general say, oh, those pyramid scheme kinds of products or pyramid scheme kinds of companies, I kind of look at it and go, well, you know, the people who kind of complain about that are the people who have been overpromised. They've been promised something that doesn't exist, which is, hey, sign up for this company, you don't really have to do anything, and you're going to become a millionaire, right? I hear that kind of thing all the time, not in LifeVantage, but I hear that kind of promise.
MLMs. Yeah, MLMs
that doesn't
do
exist,
that
right? You can't become a millionaire for doing nothing. That's ridiculous. And if somebody believes that,
their data, you know, the data of most MLMs shows a 99.7% failure rate. So they're not telling the truth to their customers. Now, businesses in your state where you're still new and you haven't reached your, market penetration, you can make some decent money. But as soon as the market penetration becomes pretty saturated, that's when the failure rates start getting high. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess. And I think that kind of comes back to, you know, do you have what does your product portfolio look like? Is it something that everybody needs? Is it something that is easy to tell? Is it something that there's no correlate for it on the market? You know, so if you've got something that is, you know, that can become a commodity kind of a product, then you can start finding at, you know, the Walmart and the Costco and on every shelf around, that's going to eat into your business. It certainly is. And it's going to be harder for you to sell that in a direct marketing, you know, kind of a scenario, because if someone can just really go down and get the same thing down at the shelf, you know, for a lower price, you know, that's going to be a tough business for you to build.
But, you know, with your product, it's the first MLM product, and I've been thinking about MLM for a lot. I don't know if I care if it helps get this out to the people, because if this can be a game changer like you're talking about, then people need to know about it, and there needs to be a way to get it out there. And if people don't make money at it, then just as long as they know, you might not make money at it, but get it out there to people. Get it out there because it helps so many people. And I'm okay personally with a product like this being an MLM if it's the best way to get that word out there.
Right.
I just wish there was a way to, just think hard about how everybody can, once it gets saturated, to think about, okay, how do we make sure that this doesn't hurt people?
Right. And we have kind of a similar mentality on that, you and I, because, of the products that we sell, probably I would say here at LifeVantage, maybe 80% of our customers are just customers. They're just buying the product to get those benefits. They're not building a business around it, right?
That's a good number. That means that there's a better, usually if there's a pretty high percentage of customers, that makes the whole model work better.
Exactly. At most network marketing companies, it's the other way around.
It's 80% more distributors
and it's 20% customers, because people are trying to make a buck necessarily, which isn't a bad thing, but don't necessarily, value the product as high as they would. Here, the product is the king, and there's a lot of people who are building a business around it. In fact,
It's very interesting to see a product like this in this kind of environment, but it also goes to show that the medical industry, it might not be open arms with it, and you got to figure out a way to get it out there.
Right. And I think getting it out there, using this model, this network marketing model, and building a business around it, if you build a business around it, you're going to be more effective at getting the product to more people than if it were just a product opportunity necessarily. A lot of the medical people that are getting interested in it are interested because of the product and because of the science. But then when they see that there's a business opportunity there, they go, that might be able to replace some of the lost income that I have because of the whole Affordable Care Act and because of how insurance is changing and because of how medicine is changing in general. This might give them a way to sort of, touch those patients in a different way.
Sure.
So there's a lot of physicians that are looking at it from that perspective.
Okay. Well, I'm really hopeful. Like I said, with a couple of my friends that have MS, I'm really looking at that close. I have my parents on it as well. I want to see how it helps my mom and dad.
Yeah.
Because like I was saying, the inflammation, I've been doing a lot of reading on Alzheimer's being a source of that. I want to get my sister to look at it and see what my sisters and see what they think about it. But the oxidative stress, the 40% in 30 days, I think is pretty amazing. And I think that with some of the results that I've heard from people, it's a pretty good idea for people to just try it. How expensive is it?
Right. It's $40. $40 a month, which is not a big initial buy-in, so to speak. So people can try it. They can see if they get those benefits. This is why we do all the research. So we can say that, look, this is legitimately science-backed, based on traditional medicine, but we've got the data now, which I think should take people and push them off the fence to say exactly what you just said. Well, it looks okay. It looks good enough for me to give it a try, and I'll see what it does for me.
Well, I like these larger number human trials that you're doing. I think that is going to be really important for people to see, because you have a lot of cellular based studies, right? And now doing these large human trials, I think, which you're kind of already doing, just in general with people replying.
Exactly.
But I think having these large human trials will be a significant factor for people. It's definitely a game changer in how we look at medicine, and it's pretty exciting to watch how this goes.
Agreed.
So, well, I really appreciate you coming on and educating all of us about this, and we'll see how it works itself out over the next 5 years, like you said. Maybe then you can come back and we can ponder, okay, what had really happened?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be an exciting time. It's a new area of thinking about how to protect the cell. It's a new way of delivering that effect. We've got good science behind it. Now it's a matter of how do we spread that word. So I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I thank you very much. And you have a wonderful holiday week with your family and friends.
Thanks, you too.
Yeah, thank
Bye-bye.
You, Sean. Yep, bye.
Well, you can see that Protandim could be a game changer. I am really excited to see how it works for my friend that has MS. I actually have two people that we're going to be trying it on. And one of my friends have been using it for a couple weeks. And at first sight, there it showed some promising results. So we're pretty excited about it and see what it can do. I just kind of cross my fingers that it will provide the results that so many people need. I guess the verdict is still out as we get more people using it and, you know, as they get more people using it and as the human trials come out, I'm really looking forward to see what the results in these human trials are. I think if there's any naysayers out there in that I've read and all around is that they want to see more human trials. And I think it's very exciting that they will be working on that. And that's going on right now, but it's something I'm definitely going to keep my eye on because this really could make a difference in people's lives. So with that, I want to wish everyone a great day.